Gospel of, and our scriptures today are taken from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. Is the Gospel of Mark in the New or Old Testament? On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across on the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was, Jesus, in the stern, asleep on a cushion, perishing, and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And waking up, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased. And there was a dead calm. This ends our reading for today. May God give us the wisdom to apply these words into our lives. I wonder, Keith, if I go into the pews, will there going to be feedback? Okay. I feel like I'm super far from you guys. And as usual, the first and second pew are always empty in church. You know the saying, come early, there's place in the back. So Jesus says, let us go across to the other side. It sounds simple. It sounds easy. But it carries an entire journey into itself. You see, Jesus doesn't say, let us stay here where everything is familiar. Let us remain where we already know the landscape and the people and the routines and the explanations. He says, let us go on the other side. And what's on the other side is a community that is unlike them, unlike the Jewish people. They're very different. Jesus says, let us go on to the other side. And that is, I believe, part of who we are and part of that series as well, the series that I'm calling Rooted and Becoming. We are rooted in our faith, we are rooted in our traditions, but we are also becoming. And part of becoming is going on the other side. And what is becoming? Becoming is a movement. Becoming is being in action. Becoming is growth. Becoming is opening ourselves to what God is calling us to do. And oftentimes, becoming means crossing on the other side. The disciples left everything that was familiar to go somewhere between where they have been and where God is calling them. But then our scripture says a storm arose. And I think sometimes we misunderstand the storms in our lives. Anybody here? Just raise your hand. Have you ever been in a storm in your life? I dare to say that. Lucilla's that. Me. We all have been in storms. And actually, I wrote a book called The Messy Life. And in the book, I say, We are either in a mess or in between messes. That's the truth. That's what life is about. If your life is not messy, I want to drink what you're drinking. So when things become unsettled, when change feels uncomfortable, when something new doesn't unfold as smoothly as we hope, we start thinking, well, something must be wrong. If I'm having difficulty right now in my life, it must be something I did not understand. Because if I have faith, and if I'm doing the right things, and saying the right prayers, and coming to church on every Sunday morning, my life should go smoothly. Newsflash. But notice something important in this story as the disciples are facing the storm. The disciples are not in the storm because they disobeyed Jesus and the call of God. They are in the storm because they did. They are in the storm because they followed. The disciples are not experiencing trouble because they ignored Jesus. They were following Jesus' directions to the letter. And that kind of totally undermines that theology that we often hear. Oh, if you just have enough faith. Oh, if you just trust. If you just let it go, everything will go smoothly. You'll have no problems. Have you ever heard that in your life? Someone telling you, oh, just have faith. The disciples had faith, and they were still in the storm. Ask Paul how his life has been. The disciple, Paul, how his life has been with faith. It didn't end very well. Sometimes the storms is not an evidence that we are moving away from God. Sometimes the storm comes because we are actually following where God is leading. And that can be true for us personally, but it can also be true for us as a church. Because you see, a church that decides and chooses to grow and to go and to follow Jesus cannot always remain in familiar waters. Because you see, the deeper issue when it comes to crossing to the other side is to decipher, are we listening to fear or are we listening to faith? Because you see, sometimes we let our imagination take control and we start believing what we think. Does it ever happen to you that you start believing what you think? I'm seeing shy hands just going like this. And then it becomes your reality. You start believing what you think. But here's the kicker. Faith does not eliminate fear. Both can be true at the same time. You can have faith and be fearful. But you see, faith prevents fear from becoming the ultimate authority. Because you see, when we listen to our faith, we think, who is hungry for justice? We think, who needs a community like ours? Who needs friendship? Who needs meaning in their lives? Who is standing on the other shore, wondering whether the church has anything to say into their lives? We are going on the other shore, not for ourselves, but for other people. We are facing our fears and not let our fears control our lives and our destiny. Fear can be heard. Fear can be held. Fear can sit in the boat with us. But fear cannot be allowed to steer the boat. Because Christ is with us in the boat. Many years ago, long time ago and far, far away, literally, I said, God, I want to serve you. Tell me where I should volunteer and where I can help. He said, well, become a minister. Yeah, that's cute. Where can I, like, is there a soup kitchen I can go and help? And he said, go and become a minister. So there was a lot of back and forth like this for 2 years. And then I said, all right, all right. And then it was smooth sailing from there. It wasn't. Oh, it was hard. The studies, the internships, the this and the that. And I thought to myself, if I have to sit down one more time in front of a committee to explain my Christology, I'm going to flip. You guys know what I'm talking about. But I did it. And here I am. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Because there was another side to that storm. And there's something similar in your life, I'm pretty sure. And we're talking about growth. I remember when I came here for my interviews and someone was mentioning, well, do you want to grow the church? And I said, yes, sure, I want to grow the church. We are called. That's our purpose. But I said, I don't want to bring people in the pews. That's not the kind of growth I'm thinking about. Because you see, people coming to church on Sunday morning is a side effect of what we do during the week. It's a side effect of who you are. By who you are, you attract people to church. Sure, I'm amazing. I love you, Lucille. Oh, no, I love that. But people will see Christ in you, will see the peace in you, will see someone who has faith to cross the lake to confront the storms. And they will say, I don't know what she has, I don't know what he has, I don't know what they have, but I want that. That's how a church grows. A growth means becoming more fully what the gospel calls us to be. And sometimes growing requires pruning. Any of you who owns a house or home, and you have big trees in front of your house, and there's these little sucker branches. Do you know what I'm talking about? And if you let them grow, the tree is going to die. It's not going to be healthy. So sometimes we have to cut what is not working. And it's the same thing in a church. Sometimes a ministry is for a while, and then we need to change it into something else. Sometimes the right answer is to say no. Except if you're the minister. If you're the minister, you say yes all the time. When we grow, we see people living in poverty. We see the indigenous community confronting injustice. When we grow as a church, we see the LGBTQ people experiencing hostility. We see the people that are victims of war, people facing food insecurity. You see, faith isn't never being afraid. Faith is refusing to let fear decide who we will become. We decide what faith will follow and what will we become because of faith. The sacred presence is still here. The same Christ who accompanied this congregation through every previous chapter is present in this chapter too. I don't want to say there's a new era, but there's a new minister coming in. I heard he's okay. The same God who was present in yesterday's ministry is present in the ministry that is to come. And here's the key. Here's the key in this scripture. And if there is anything that you can take away from this service today, is this. Jesus does not calm the storm so the disciples can turn around and return to where they started. Jesus calms the storm so they can continue the crossing. The calm is not the destination. The absence of trouble is not the destination. The other side is. On the other side, there is ministry waiting. There is someone who has been pushed to the margin. There is someone who needs healing. There is someone whom others have given up on. The goal is to be the church, to become a community so rooted in love that we are willing to grow new branches, bear new fruits, give shade. We are called to become a community courageous enough to try new things, to become a community willing to ask not only what do we enjoy, but a community that says, who's on the other side of that storm that needs us? I'm wrapping this up more beautifully, I think, than I did in St. Andrews, do I? So the storm is not the destination. Fear is not the destination. Uncertainty is not the destination. Even growth itself is not the final destination. Love is. Compassion is. Justice is the destination. Amen. Let us take a moment to reflect.